Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS Sports writer Will Brinson. Will, how's it going, man?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hanging in, Will. How you been, buddy?
Living the dream, man. It's free agency frenzy. Both my my wife and son are at home from work and school today with a cold, and I'm trying to explain to them that this is how we pay the bills. Daddy yelling loudly about Trey Flowers and $17 million and Landon Collins. Tweeting about Charlie Casserly. So, you know, go back upstairs.
Has Charlie lost it? What's going on there?
I don't know if he has his fastball. The thing is, you can't get on TV and blowtorch Josh Rosen and then 15 minutes later say that the Cowboys are throwing the ball to Dez Bryant too much last year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're gonna set fire to somebody, make sure that you have your ducks in a row and that you can, you know, you sound credible the rest of the time. If you do it the way that Charlie's done it, it's not a good look. And he's now, you know, the whole interview thing that Mike Florio pointed out was a very good point. I mean, you know, you can't rip somebody for their interviews while being a guy who is paid professionally to prep people for interviews. Cause I mean, there's just a conflict of interest there. It just hadn't been a good look, but I don't know that it's 2019. Does anybody care if he's wrong or that he's saying the stuff on TV, as long as it drives clicks and views? I mean, or have we reached that point where things are so sad as a society? I don't know.
That's a sad commentary, but I would hope we'd be a little bit better than that, Will.
Yeah, you think so. I don't know. I mean, like, they didn't pull him off TV when he set fire to Kyler Murray. He backed off a little bit. And then, you know, like, I tweeted out that quote about Rosen. And I know that Ron Wolfley, who does their broadcast, the Cardinals broadcast, and other guys who write, cover the team, have quote tweeted it and been like, nobody's heard this. And Larry Fitzgerald has been complimentary. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing is very bizarre to have, like, Charlie Casserly, the only guy who knows what kind of scouting report there is on Josh Rosen, you know, in that building.
All right, well, let's get to some of the free agency news, though. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, reporting today that the Browns are in on C.J. Mosley. Lions, Colts, Eagles, Jets, Redskins are also in, according to the NFL Network. Redskins obviously spending a lot of money today, though. If Kawan Alexander got $13.5 million, what's it going to cost John Dorsey to land Mosley?
I think it might be like $15 million. I don't know. Mosley, I mean, here's the thing about, you know, these free agent presentations. And by the way, Mary Kay is just the best. Love Mary Kay. She's awesome. When these agents go into these teams, right, they have these presentations, and you have PFF numbers, and you have basic traditional stats and all that. And, you know, you're like, oh, look at the Pro Bowls. You can see he's done this. Here's how old he is. Yada, yada, yada. When Kwon Alexander goes out there and gets that money, and then you're C.J. Mosley's agent, you're able to say, look, if my guy plays 16 games, he's going to have 110 tackles. He's been to the Pro Bowl three straight years. He's a monster inside. He puts up stats all over the place. Teams like ignore reality that you need fast, you know, shifty defenders, guys. More modern linebackers, and they'll be willing to pay him. So I think C.J. Mosley is going to get a big contract out there just because of the stats, how the market's being set, all the cap room and all the cash that are available to these teams. There's sort of a dearth of linebackers like that. Like, there's a, you know, you don't have a ton of really good modern thumping linebackers who you actually feel comfortable putting out there in 2019. So I would expect that he gets a very robust deal at free agency.
Well, and on top of it, Will, you have an opportunity. If you're the Browns and you decide to sign C.J. Mosley, you make your rival, your division rival, weaker. You know, they want to bring Mosley back, but they can't afford to spend that much cash. I think that's an added element here to why maybe the Browns would look at Mosley, not just because he's a good player, but because he plays for the Ravens.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look, I mean, I talked with Nathan Zagura at the Super Bowl about this, and I mean, you guys know it. You guys are living it. There is a sense everywhere nationally not that like the Cleveland Browns should be the favorite to win the division, but that they are the favorite to win the division in 2019 because of the way that they're trending, the personnel that they've added, the moves that John Dorsey's made. And then, you know, you have the Ravens who had that run with Lamar Jackson, but we don't know if that's going to be sustainable. They're losing a lot of guys on defense. You know, they have yet to really, they lost Michael Crabtree. They don't have a ton of pass catchers. The Steelers are imploding before our eyes and just, they're eating $21 million in a cap hit for Antonio Brown. And the Bengals just gave, speaking of $21 million, just gave $21 million to Bobby Hart. And don't look like a great football team. It took them like 9 months to hire a defensive coordinator. So if I'm the Browns, I mean, at least this would be my approach. And I think John Dorsey has shown that it is his approach. He's willing to push in on this year. I mean, I think you have a sort of a Rams-like situation from last year or the year before, right, where the division is sliding back. You know, there are some dangerous teams within the division, but you feel the sense that if you make the right moves and you pull the trigger on the right deals and the right picks, that you can put yourself over the top and potentially win the division in 2019. And if that happens, build the statue for Dorsey in Cleveland right away.
Joined by CBS Sports' Will Brinson here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, Will, I think Odell Beckham and all the rumors and everything attached to him potentially coming here, I think it's 6 feet under. I'm done. I'm out with it. But we have Jeff Howe today saying that I guess those aren't completely closed. If you had to guess, Odell Beckham Jr., game one 2019 for the Giants, is he still on their roster or is he playing for a different team?
I mean, I would say it's like – I mean, like, I don't want to – here's my thing. I would say it's like – 75-25, he's with the Giants, because I don't think anybody is going to want to meet the Giants' price for him. I believe Dave Gettleman is going to ignore the Antonio Brown deal because that is a special set of circumstances. He will look more at the the Amari Cooper deal with the Raiders and the Cowboys, and he will also point out that, you know, Odell Beckham is under control for the next few years if he is trading him. I do, however, firmly believe that what the Giants are doing right now and what their long-term plan is to make Saquon Barkley the face of the franchise. And I realize he's already sort of there, great rookie season, all of that. But Odell Beckham's more famous than Saquon Barkley. And if you want to funnel an offense through Saquon Barkley, what would you do? You would go out and you would get, you would trade for offensive linemen, or you would sign, offensive linemen. You would draft him. You would try to get better in that regard. And if they do decide to do that, and I think it's clear that they are doing that, if you do that, you're going to end up with an angry diva wide receiver who wants to have the offense funneled through him. And so from that respect, I think that they would consider trading him if they can get the price they want back in return, because they want Saquon to be the focus of this offense. And they're worried that if they try and make the Giants all about Saquon, that it could in turn, Antonio Brown, same thing. But, it could make Odell Beckham mad. He could start throwing even more hissy fits, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think they would be willing to listen, but I don't know if other teams are going to want to give up the amount that they want back after seeing that Antonio Brown trade.
So what we were talking with Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Will, what would be the starting point? Like, if you were the Browns or any other team coming to the Giants and saying, all right, Gettleman, we'll offer you a one and some change. I mean, where do you start?
Yeah, I think you have to start with a one. If I'm Dave Gettleman, there's no way I'm giving up a potential Hall of Fame wide receiver in his prime when he signed to what we saw after Antonio Brown got his deal, a fair market value, right? I mean, Antonio Brown barely beat it. There's no way that I'm out there, taking less than a one. And so that's where it gets a little tricky too, right? Like, the Browns could give up a one because it's 17, but is that high enough for Dave Gettleman to consider giving up Odell Beckham? It depends on how bad he wants to get rid of him. You're not getting Odell Beckham at 17. You know, you're not even getting DK Metcalf at 17, more than likely. I love Calvin Harmon. AJ Brown's a good player, Marquise Brown. There's lots of good receivers out there. N'Keal Harry, name them all. Akeem Butler, but these guys are not, you're guessing. I mean, you don't know that they're going to be as good as Odell Beckham. And so I think the problem is, teams with a high first aren't going to be willing to part with that, and teams with a low first might not have the value, the juice there to try and get Odell Beckham back, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. What do you think the perception is then if they don't want to go that route and you go for a different free agent, like someone like Tyrell Williams? You know, his best season came in 2016, but you can make an argument. It was Keenan Allen. It was Mike Williams. Williams was the third. And then I hear people suggesting that he's worth upward of $10 million per season. Are we getting out of hand here? Or is that really the asking price and the starting price for someone like that?
Well, I mean, the problem is, it's like this offensive tackle market, right? There's just no wide receivers out there. And I am not paying $10 million a year to Tyrell Williams. That is poor asset allocation, I think. You're talking about a guy who, I mean, he's a great deep threat. And there aren't a ton of, you know, you don't have a ton of deep threats out there. But, like, why are you going to go pay $10 million a year to Tyrell Williams when you have Antonio Callaway on your roster? To me, that, you know, and I get that Antonio Callaway is not a perfect, you know, receiver and he's young and all that, but you drafted him with the idea that he would be this, you know, the speed, this burner down the field. So I would not do that if I'm the Browns. I know you want to put weapons around Baker Mayfield. I don't think you want to hinder the development of other guys there by going out and signing a guy who's going to get $10 million. Like, if there were more wide receivers on the open market, Tyrell Williams is getting like $5 million a year, you know, or like $7 million a year, something like that. He's not getting that $10 million a year that he'll probably get because teams have tons of money to spend in this free agency, and they need to add weapons, and they're not afraid to burn it on a guy like that.
Will, when you look at the Antonio Brown trade to the Raiders, with the leverage that Antonio displayed, is this something that we'll see more of as we go? Do you have to be an elite player? I mean, he had to burn almost every bridge to get what he wanted, but I'm sure there's other players around the league saying, man, maybe he can change the game because we see this in NBA all the time. But first time, I think, really in the NFL where a player has really demanded a trade and got exactly what he wanted.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the norm moving forward. And I agree with you completely in the sense that it's probably going to be an elite guy. And then with Antonio, it was a special set of circumstances. One, you know, the Steelers had given him that restructured contract last year that had put themselves in a bad position in terms of the cap. I mean, it almost felt like that was going to be the one impediment. But, you know, Antonio Brown, his representatives knew that he could come back. You know, they'd have to pay him a bunch of money. He could stink up the locker room, all of that. And things just got too far. You know, two, I think you got to be crazy enough. Like, you got to be Antonio Brown level crazy to do what he did. I mean, he went and met with the Rooneys, sat down. They're like, all right, could you please stop flaming us on social media and doing weird stuff? You're making it really difficult to trade you. He's like, sure, I will definitely do that. Then left the meeting and like turned the crazy up to 11 on social media. And so you have to have the screw loose to be willing to play that. Whatever. I don't know if it was chicken so much as it was like I don't even know what the game would be that he was playing. It's like a 3D chicken or something like that. You got to have the screw loose to be willing to do that. You have to have the leverage from the contract, and then most importantly, you got to be the elite player. But yeah, I mean, I think that both Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown have showed, you know, if you're a player, and I think Le'Veon Bell's contract is going to get a lot of money. I think people were, you know, we talked about, oh, you gave up that $14 million, but he saved himself from a year. If he goes out there and gets paid like Antonio Brown did by the Raiders, people are going to say, all right, maybe if you are an elite player, you should hold out if you're not getting what you want. And I don't condone what Antonio Brown did as far as being a teammate and being a guy who's under contract. Like, he'd signed signed a contract twice in the last 3 years. I mean, play it out and be a good teammate. You're getting compensated very nicely for what you do. But at the same time, I mean, I get it. You got a short window. Maximize your value. Get every dollar you can while you can. And I think you'll see people trying to do it more often. I don't know that it will necessarily be quite the norm, though, because you do need a lot of factors, you know, to sort of collide at one time.
Hey, Will, is John Gruden just making this up as he goes?
Yes.
Ask and answer. I like it.
My theory on what happened is Gruden came back to the Raiders, and he's so I'm going to call him some names, but I don't mean them as insults. I mean them as compliments. Like, he has such an ego, right? As a guy who's won a Super Bowl and been on ESPN for all these years. He wanted to remake that roster in his own vision. You know, and that's his prerogative. You got $100 million to run the team. I mean, he can, if he wants to do that, he can. And so he shipped out Reggie McKenzie's guy. I think he believed he could win last year even without those elite players because of his coaching on offense. And I also think he didn't mind the idea of not being great for a couple of years You know, you get to Vegas, you know, draft a bunch of young guys. They're all coming together at the same point in time, and everything clicks when you get to Vegas. And then he went through that disaster season, and he spent an entire year with everybody making fun of him because he traded away Khalil Mack, he traded away Amari Cooper, he lost a ton of games, the Raiders were terrible again, and it looked like an abject failure. And he's like, I'm not doing that again. He's like, nah, no, screw it. I am not doing that again. I'll trade for Antonio Brown. I'll sign Trent Brown. And I think, I would guess Drew Rosenhaus might have gotten in his ear and was like, hey, if you trade for Antonio, you know, sign Trent, all of a sudden you got the weapons for Derek Carr, you know, draft some people, you know, you got four picks in the first 35. I think he believes he can fix the defense and fix the offense in one offseason with all those picks and with all this big spending and free agency. And I'm not saying it's going to work, but the moves he's made, coupled with the draft picks that they're going to have, like, they're going to be a day one winner in the draft because they have three first round picks where mm-hmm. everyone's going to write winners and losers article and their grades, and the Raiders are going to be a winner and they're going to get an A. There may be some people talking themselves into Oakland as either a wild card team or a division sleeper by the time they get done with this offseason. I think, I don't know if it's going to work, but I think that's where John Gruden's head is at.
That's crazy. Will Brinson, great stuff, man. We appreciate the time. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes.
Yeah, guys, anytime. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.